February 19, 2020, it's a Wap for Pedro show. Thank you.
have time to do China. And this is about the perfect time to do it. This is supposed to be played on piano, but that's irrelevant.
For Pedro show. I'm Brother Matt. Last minute had to take leave, so I'm in my pad, Pedro, but not man alone, because the amazing engineers in Estonia with their Skype software. I got Frank with me from Smogvale to talk about the Peter Lochner box set that came out.
Hey there.
Welcome aboard, Peter. Frank.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, Frank just told me a story about Tony moving Peter and him playing piano the whole way inside the boat. On an upright. And we started the show off with Mr. Knight, John Coltrane, and then going to China. Peter Laughter. I guess this fifth CD, it's the stuff he recorded, and the next morning his ma finds him, right?
Yes, I mean it's very poignant that way, and it's a final statement from Peter, and it's a much sort of mythologized recording, but I just find it to be very touching, and there's something just special about it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and then knowing, actually it's not the last one. I think Summertime he does an Eddie Cochran.
Yeah, I mean there was still hope in his voice, but
sure.
he had to know that his illness was devastating and that he didn't have long to live.
What, like 24?
Yeah, that was it. He had reached out to friends around that time, asking them, if he could move. He had some friends that lived out in the country in Ohio, and he wanted to move out there, and he thought that maybe he could find some relief for his addictions and for his illness, and it just never worked out. He just never got the opportunity to do that, but there's just something about his story, and that's just so important and relevant to artistic expression today and the creative process.
Where does this story start with you? Because for the listeners out there, we're talking about like 1973 to 77.
Right. Well, he actually, his first band was a high school band in, I think, 1969 or 1968. But for me, it started in 1999 when David Thomas and his friend Jim Jones got in touch with me and said, hey, would you be interested in producing the first ever fully authorized Rocket from the Tombs retrospective release? And I, of course, I said sure, because it was that band is really the start, the real genesis of the Cleveland underground, and it was a release that had been, the recording set had been bootlegged many times, and to have that opportunity to finally put together the definitive, fully authorized release that, of course, Peter plays on, was something that we couldn't pass up. And so we did that record, and, the band got, the surviving members of the band got back together, and they added Richard Lloyd from Television on guitar, and they did a string of successful tours. But the thing is, when I did that release, I knew there was another story here that hadn't been told, and that was the story of Peter Lochner. And so it was a story that I was, interested in telling. I had this desire to tell a story about my hometown, Cleveland, Ohio, and this just provided the perfect opportunity. And so I set out, along with my researchers, my assistants, just putting together this gigantic archive of recordings and letters and flyers and photos and whatever we can find. I had no idea when I started it, though, that it would take as long as it took to put it all together.
Like 10 years. No. Yeah, something like that, right?
Yeah. 10 years is sort of the official start to finish, but we really had started picking materials up maybe 15 years ago.
You know about this take the guitar player for a ride?
Yeah.
So you did know about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were other, there were some, 7-inch records that were done, take the guitar player for a ride. That kept the, it kept the legacy alive, certainly, but those releases, I think should be commended, but they also needed to be expanded, and because it didn't really tell the full story. And so we really set out to tell as best can be told the full story.
And for you, what was the best way to learn? Was it like David or people?
Of course. I mean, David was very helpful. He pointed us in the right directions initially, but for us, there was just a lot of detective work and finding people because Rocket from the Tombs and Pere Ubu were really just part of the story, and there's a lot more to the story besides that. So finding the people, finding the materials, it's rock and roll detective work, and it just took years and years to track stuff down. This happened more than once where we got a hold of someone and they said, I've been waiting for 30 years to tell my story. And so, when that happens, you just know you're on gold.
And you were talking about people who knew him personally that played in bands with him?
Yeah, played in bands, and then for whatever reason weren't involved in music anymore and hadn't been involved in music in a long time. They went on and did other things. They got other careers or other whatever. And so it happened on many occasions, just finding people and hearing that, you know, they've been waiting for so long to tell their story. And of course, so many people had closets full of photos and flyers, like I said, and letters and recordings, that building this archive just took time.
Yeah, and the recordings, a lot of more personal, right? He didn't go in the studio much.
There were very few actual studio recordings. So the only ones that we know of are the Pereubu 7-inches that he plays on. He did a very short studio recording with Adele Bertai. And that recording is, and we got the master on that, and it's known as the Secret Session recording, from which there's one or two songs on the box set. And then he did a sort of living room studio recording in 1970, and that got released in 1970. It's a private press LP in an edition of 100, maybe 50. It's called, the title of the release is Notes on a Cocktail Napkin, and I have one, and it's a very, obviously it's a very difficult release to track down. The masters, who knows where those are at, they're long gone. And, but that's it, as far as studio recordings go, that's it. However, in our, we're still looking for things. And so in our ongoing quest, to find more stuff, we recently came upon a single song, recorded in a studio, I believe in 1974. The name of the song is The Change. And I hope I can release it someday, because it's just an amazing, amazing recording.
You know, you say 1970, he was a teenager, so probably still in high school.
Yes. Yes.
So he started really early.
Yeah. I mean, he had high school bands when, I think, as far back as 68.
Wow.
I believe he played his first live gig in 69, like a high school dance or something.
You know, Bob Quine made all them Cleveland recordings of Velvet Underground. I think he was in, you know, I got to record once with Bob Quine. And
right.
He told me the first guy he saw play electric guitar was Buddy Holly in Kent, Ohio, the year I was born, 1957.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, buddy, watch out, man. You don't want to record with this guy. He's an asshole. He's going to kill you. And he was the nicest guy in the world. Same thing with David Thomas. This guy's going to kill you. He's an asshole, and he was the nicest guy in the world.
Oh yeah,
I mean, believe what people say.
No. That's a complete myth, and it's actually a very unfortunate myth, because David, you know, I mean, when you have as long a career as David has had, I think there's a certain amount of respect that is commanded by that. But as far as friendliness and you know, I mean, David's unparalleled, really.
Yeah, he's always been the greatest. And the two unknown instructor records I got to be a part of with him was a great experience. He was beautiful. And Georgie was like fucking hours and hours late. David was stripping down. He was down to his chonies by the time Georgie finally got him. I'm going to play Solomon's Mines here.
This is for my wife, Charlotte.
If I had the gold from the deepest ocean and the diamonds from Solomon's mines, I'd trade them all for your sweet loving made me see where I was blind. If I had the voice of a choir of angels and could sing to move mountains high, I might seem so low. It's all fanging just to make you a lullaby. Well, I get tired and I get weary. I'm hardly ever half satisfied. But I feel a whole lot better when my true love is by my side.
How much writing are you doing now?
Very little. Some, you know, once in a while. I don't like to do a lot of my songs.
Why?
Because a lot of them are rock and roll songs, too, and I want a whole screaming band. I want horns, and I want
yeah,
little
girls.
Yeah,
you want the fanfare and the brass. Right.
I
want
to wear my bell-bottom pants with the rhinestones around the cuffs.
Your salty hot ire shakes like shivered steel frying in electric rain. Struggling hot, it trips into knots as it grips swaddling holes in your brain. Yet, try as I might and care as I do, I listen too fast past your pain. Yet, hear you I do, yet unrelenting I coo my thoughts on rushing train. For thrilled am I even to palaver and reason with any and all of my kin. All convos are relished, words wildly embellished, ideas on the head of a pin. Do know never I intend myth feelings to bend, or to rankle beneath anyone's skin. Still, words quickly spent lend selfish offense, when pride merely lets that hurt in. Still, bang, off my mind travels, my words romp, roam, and unravel. Thrilling in chase of skewed logic, yet why do you hear angering babble? Petty feelings snapped shut, mercy's listening port, skidding to halt on fun's gravel. Okay, my words wander on, merrily traipsing upon, feet like slam-dancing cattle. So few will ever know that stream's heady flow of possibilities unbound, that I can describe and Russian contrivance to paint vision into sound. Kaleidoscopic's this world, its riches unfurled, my mind can but expound. So oft unsprung my mellifluous tongue runs speech on wonders it's found. Thus ever I follow that muse in her wonder, a witness to her flowering ideals. Ever-widening realms splash with beauty it held, her glee so utterly unreal. Each moment's a gift. I wish to uplift, yet you deign to be bent by my spiel. A chance we may have shared, sparkling and rare, perhaps 'twas our last zeal. Know yet that I care, don't fret, whine, or despair, nothing's really been broken. My mind's a-bubblin', thoughts rush into words, sure, widely my mouth was opened. Thus I'll strive to control this gushing pie-hole of soliloquy fast, blithely spoken. Accept then this apology for excessive rants, for families where I put my hope in.
buried deep down in the ground. How it grieves my heart to see you walking around. You're looking well, but you look better under a mound. Undergoing fermentation, not making a sound. Something I need. You're a mirror to my darkest side, disowned indeed. At least on social media, remove you from my feed.
It's the first day of summer. Everyone wants ice cream. People cluster at tables and jostle at the ordering window. I watch with wonder and amazement. I guess they don't have a kid in a psychiatric hospital. I trace a square and seldom step outside it. Home to hospital, hospital to home. I bring an eyebrow kit, Kafka's Complete Stories, a laundry bag with socks and underwear inside. I have moments of lightness and moments of crying, and both feel the same. When she was younger, we took pictures at waterfalls, windblown and grinning. The overlook was a few feet away, but we couldn't make her look. She lay on a bench, kicking her Crocs and plucking petals from a purple flower. Water came over the cliffs with a hissing sound. Beneath it, thunder. Striped roof like a circus tent, curved red benches, patchwork pictures of orange push-up pops and chocolate rockets. A man with two boys, a couple dressed for church. A girl in a pink sweatshirt moans to herself. She kicks the ground to make her wheelchair move. Everyone wants ice cream. Music wavers out of tune. Ice cream could be a bribe. Don't die, and I'll bring you some. I walk through the mental steps of realizing it won't work. By the time I get there, it would melt.
Down and be cool. Oh, Nelly, don't drink like a fool. Oh, Nelly. The first beach in Garver encroachment. Oh, come in and sit down. We'll give you a good seat today in the fourth dimension.
Fog in my mind.
dawn with the hungers of night as they wait for the right time to touch in the gloom of the clutch of the rain on the city. Fog in my mind keeps on fogging my mind. Come close, don't say maybe. There's this coldness in me that only you can touch. Oh, baby, come on, don't be crazy. It's time you give me that fine, fine love that all means so much. In the rain on the city, I said, in the rain.
For Peter showed out of Solomon's Mines from Peter Lochner. And it's a great song. You know, in the notes, you talked about him being a folky. He's a rock and roller, but yeah, there is something like that. And there's also something I read about him actually going. He lived in the city a couple of months. He came to California.
He did. He moved to California with one of his buddies, Rockne Riddleberger. And they moved to the Bay Area, and they were going to try to make it as musicians, as songwriters. And I think they lasted maybe 3 months. There were some misconnections. They had some gigs lined up. And there was, you know, there's no internet or email or cell phone, you know. And so they were playing open mic nights, getting paid in dinner, you know, getting paid in food, basically. And so they had some gigs lined up, and there were some miscommunications, and they missed the gigs, it didn't happen, and things kind of quickly fell apart. And then Peter came back to Cleveland, and Rockne, I think, stayed out there. But he lives in Ohio now. He's a pedal steel player. And he's also a model builder. He builds like model cars, and he's really well known for that in Southern Ohio.
Okay. And we had Chris Kroger doing there's that air conditioner railing. People, Frank's in Miami here, so he needs. I know it's February, but it's still sweaty. It is parts. You know, Midwest guys who moved to Florida. I know one named Ig. And yeah, they don't turn back. They love worship the sun. We had Chris Kroger with Bubble and Iron Salts, the Flowers. Chris Butler, brand new, got to vote him out. Chris Butler told me to tell you hi, Frank.
Oh yeah, Chris is a really good friend.
And then putting out songs and music, he just loves it, man.
Yeah, you know, you know, Chris has a pretty amazing history. And some of his most well-known compositions are, you know, known everywhere. You know, I Know What Boys Like, yeah, Christmas Wrap. Right.
Waitresses.
I mean, yeah. And so, but we did a record with Chris a couple of years ago, and it turned out to be Ralph Carney's last record.
Oh, that's and, right. Sax player. Lead man.
Yeah. And, you know, Ralph was a great friend, and I'm just so sad that he's gone. I'm still.
It's terrible. What, he fell down the stairs or something, right?
Yeah, it was an accident at his house, and I tell you, I just miss that guy every day.
You know, I've got bad knees, and my advice, people, is always hold on to the rails, handrails.
Yeah,
it's so fucked up, especially as you get down the road a little further. hold on to them rails.
I can tell you that Ralph is the kind of guy that would say the same thing and is probably laughing about that wherever in the universe he might.
Oh, yeah, I know. You know about Tennessee Williams? I think it was a bottle cap from a pill bottle.
Yeah.
He was swallowing pills, and somehow the cap goes down and gets caught in the hatch.
That's not a good way to go. I'd imagine there was a couple moments there where...
Like, oops, dope.
He could see it. You know, he could see that Grim Reaper, and, you know, that must not have been good.
No, not at all. I always think of that when I'm putting my foot into something stupid. Panther Paul with Better Fellows after that. Trotsky Icepack, brand new. It's new music for 20 years. My Mission in Life. Ned O'Millick Cooperative out of... I think he's living in Italy now. Yeah. Bella Ciao, hence the title. Lucy Leave out of England, Grandma too. His Name is Alive, brand new out of England too. Forever Getting Lost. Jaded Azurites. That's from, what's that called? Hudson Valley, where a lot of people from Manhattan, they keep the New York part of the address, but they move north. Forever, Happy Clown. Guided by Voices. Bob put out another album. I think it's 107 for him now. He is just collaborating, though. He just played here on New Year's. He did a 100-gig set. It was like 5 hours.
You know, I had this acquaintance from Ohio State, and, you know, I mean, got it by Voices from Dayton.
Yeah.
But I knew these guys from Dayton. When I was in college, and one of those guys was the longest running bass player, I think, or one of the longest running bass players. Greg Demos.
Oh, okay. They got a guy named Mark that's been with them the last few. And he's the one who usually drives. Him and Doug drive the truck, you know.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, Hell Rides, like, they played here in Pedro, believe it or not, a couple years ago. They drove a rental van or truck to Dayton and back.
I think they've had just as many members as albums, but
yeah, right.
somehow Bob keeps the quality super high.
Yeah, I mean,
there's just, you know, he's got this sound that he's developed, and he's never really strayed from it, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, no matter who he plays with, right? Although I would say Doug Gillard now is probably his most consistent cat.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
There's something about, and I think Doug's a Cleveland guy, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Because John Petkovich, right? Well, I think he served the good ship Guided by Voices. But, I mean, there's crazy shit, too, like Boston spaceships. But it doesn't matter what it is. It's still Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, Peter Lochner with Rain on the City. You know, but I picked, you know, it's five albums. And,
yes.
But actually, maybe only about 20 originals.
Well,
so
you know,
that's what I tried to pick here, Frank.
Sure. Well, you know, that's part of Peter's story. You know, he wanted to make it as a musician, and you can imagine trying to do that,
those days.
In whatever town in 1972, trying to play, in clubs, you know, the market, the market for original compositions, original songs was pretty small. So, you know, you had to play covers if you wanted to play live. And that's what he did, but
I think it was something. He did pick good ones.
Yeah. And so, He did, you know, they were somewhat unusual picks for the time, but...
No James Dean.
Yeah, I mean, no, he added something.
No Brownsville Station.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you got Velvets, you got Television. Well, I guess he even tried out for Television. Look, we're at the end of the first hour here. You can tell us about that next. February 19, 2020... Frank from Smogville talking about Peter Hold tight for Outer Toot.
And so the band needs a guitarist, and Tom knows Peter and invites them to New York to have a sort of living room jam session to see if it might work out. And they have their little jam session, and it just didn't work out. And so I don't know if it could be called an audition or an invitation to join the band, but in any event, it just didn't work out. And, you know, people ask me all the time, well, is there a recording of that? And no, there isn't. I wish there was
more to the story than that, because I've heard another part of the story. He pulled out a gun.
Well, you know, we interviewed Tom Verlaine about that. And so, you know, this is a story that he tells. And he didn't mention a gun at all.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know, you know, I'll tell you the first time my personal experience, oh man, I should tell people. February 19, 2020, it's the second hour of the Walk from Pedro show, but we're talking here about Peter trying out for television. The first time I actually talked to somebody about Peter was, I guess, one of his first drummers. Well, not in high school, but Cinderella
Backstreet.
Right. Scott right. played in that band, right?
Scott Krause, yes.
Yeah. And I asked Scott about him. You know, I was a younger man and was learning about Peter. And, man, Scott's eyes went freaked out. And I don't want to talk about that. Oh, yeah. And so I just never brought it up again. And then when I heard that other story about the guy and stuff, I was like, oh man, what's Peter like? But then listening to his music and stuff, he's like somebody I wanted to know. Maybe not so scary, you know?
Well, he's a storyteller more than anything else. And really, I think the song that should be his most well-known song, Amphetamine, there's only three recordings of it that we ever found. And it's the song that Take the Guitar Player from the Ride takes its title from, because that's a lyric within the song.
Yeah.
And that's also a lyric that Wilco famously used in their song Misunderstood. And so... But that song, Peter changed the lyrics to it. He didn't change the chorus, but he changed the lyrics to it every time he recorded it, and it was a different story every time. And he was a storyteller more than anything else. I think that's the best single word to describe him.
Yeah, let's listen Down at the Bar.
Come from New Orleans with a scar on his cheek and his future in his jeans. He started hanging out at the bar, telling everybody he's an ex-Marine. You know, all those sugar daddies, they like to trip with a boy who's clean. Jack's just back from Florida, looking very tan, talking coy about the cops and the boys in the sand. And a certain Puerto Rican with a very hyperactive gland. And Jack gets up and does his number, and everybody gives him a hand. Now Mr. Casual leans over in his casual way to tell me how things just aren't quite the same today. He teaches at the high school, and oh, you wouldn't believe those children and their ways. Buys me a drink because I don't have a thing to say. Oh, more scuff, and then Eric from Chicago decides he's gonna call Michael's bluff. And Eric says the only time I say no, honey, is when they ask me if I've had enough. From down the street, come in and order up Mogan David wine. Oh, you can always hear somebody shout, "Woo! Honey, I feel so fine. Oh, I feel so fine. She'd give her 22 and alls, and then Billy was begging somebody to come home with him and fall, and somebody else wrote their number down in an indecipherable scrawl. And then the bartender hit the lights and shouted, "Last call for alcohol." Well, you can come back tomorrow night and you won't remember leaving here at all. Oh, at the bar, baby.
Thank you. total salad waste station, civilization, fear the viral stagnation.
Turn.
spiraling. I'm so bored by earthly aesthetics. I'm so bored. Spiraling, spiraling, spiraling. So bored by earthly aesthetics. I'm so bored. Spiraling, spiraling, spiraling. I'm so bored by earthly aesthetics. So bored. Spiraling, spiraling.
saved again. I'm on a roll. You never know how low you can go. Falling, my eyes are red. No one knows the weight of it. Never looking back. I see it clearly now as I make my way through torture. Come within arm's length, tripping on my feet again, falling on my face, only to be left behind. Never looking back, I see it clearly now as I make my way. I kept chasing all the good years, but they were always 2 steps ahead. By the time I got there, down there, they were looking back at me. Melt away past the stage. You can't move backwards anyway. Soak it in, let it out. You know the feeling, oh too well. Never looking back, I see it clearly now as I make my way through torture day. I kept waiting.
Another song about rock and roll. This is one that I wrote, and this is a sad song about rock and roll. I was inspired one night while under the affluence of alcohol to while listening to Sam Cooke sing Having a Party, which is one of the saddest songs in Western literature. And I wrote this, and I can't compare with Sam Cooke, but it's sort of my tribute to him. Wait, let me see if I can see it. Saturday night. It's called Saturday Night, Dance the Night Away.
One, you take her by her hand, and you're gonna lead her on the floor. You know you wanna dance just a little bit more. It's Saturday night. Standing there where she looks so fine. Hey, would you like to try? That's all you're gonna need just to make you high on Saturday night. See them girls dressed up so right, and the band they play so good. They shined up their Saturday shoes just so they could play for you. Oh, to dance. Night away and the dawn might never come at all. Oh. One, you you take her by her hand. Two, you're gonna lead her on the floor. You know you wanna dance just a little bit more on Saturday night. The world outside is big and round, hard to take when it's tough and wild. But it's alright when you're Saturday's child, and it's Saturday night. Oh, to dance the night away, the dawn might never come at all.
Pete Lochner.
It was in 1974. It was a small. The underground was a small group of people. I mean, it was. It really wasn't more than 25 people. It might have been less. It probably was less than that. And so there was a lot of
playing with each other.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And of course, once Rocket from the Tombs broke up, this is the sort of the greatest cross-pollinization in all the Cleveland Underground, is that, you know, that band split into two bands, Pere Ubu and Dead Boys, but they not only split up the members, they split up the songs, and so...
That's where I first heard Ain't It Fun.
Right, so each of those bands' most well-known songs for the Dead Boys, Sonic Reducer, and Ain't It Fun, and for Pere Ubu, say, Final Solution and 30 Seconds Over Tokyo, those were originally Rocket from the Tombs. Those songs were originally performed by Rocket from the Tombs.
And I think Peter's on the Pere Ubu versions, right?
Yes.
7-inch? Yeah.
Yes.
I remember Tony telling me, like, no one wanted to rock the bass. You know, Tim and Tom would trade off. So, like, I like the way you kept it intact, too, the little spiels that Peter would give before he started playing. So.
Oh, yeah, those were important to keep there, definitely.
But also, it kind of establishes the nature of the recording. They're very casual. It's almost like it's like hanging out, right?
Oh yeah, very much so. These were not studio recordings. These were done in rehearsal spaces and at clubs.
Yeah, he especially when he's just playing acoustic guitar and singing, he does so well. I mean, the guy is a very accomplished musician. And this idea of him being so fucked up all the time, you know, he's got a tune, right? I'm so fucked up. But he don't sound like it.
I mean, there's two things really to keep in mind. I mean, first of all, it's the 70s, so, you know, I mean, obviously it was, you know, everyone was, you know, had some sort of vice. And fortunately, it didn't ruin too many people. Although the people that, you know, were ruined by it, it's very sad. But the other thing to keep in mind, and I think this is most important, is that, I mean, this is my belief that these things are an illness. I mean, it's a medical condition, and so, you know, I mean, it's difficult for people to deal with. Even, I mean, today, I mean, with where medical science is at today, you know, we don't have the answer to deal with people's addictions. So you can imagine where medical science was at in 1975 and trying to deal with the illness of addiction. It was impossible.
And trying to keep them bands together, right? Well, they're Rocket from the Tombs and Pere Ubu, they weren't really his bands. He's playing with other guys, right? Even though he's the biggest part of the band.
Yeah, I mean, Rocket from the Tombs, he joined after the band had been formed, and then, but Pere Ubu, he joined straight from the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
White, she was walking and talking, as usual, out on the floor. While Ruby was deep into her pantomime, me, I just stood staring at my reflection in my glass of bourbon over by the door. Still couldn't find those friends of mine. When Ruby turned and pirouetted like a ghost dancer up the marble stair, I felt myself set free in a city without weather. My own dream of Baudelaire. Now Lily White, she leans so close to you and whispers, you will see diamonds falling all around her mouth. Ah, but Ruby moves her lemon-scented body. Just like the breezes from the south. So somehow, I got tangled. The taste of danger, feeling such a lot like Baudelaire. Comes the night to fill my glass just one more time. Well, all the lovely ladies, they get up and they adjourn to the show. My head is so anointed with the blood and the wine that I almost all the secrets down on the holy street, where the vagrants, they come down and go. And other secrets in the eyes of cats and other vagrant lovers, where the Ruby seemed to know the secrets as old as the ages of the blood and wine flowing in the fountains on the city square. And I crawled to her to be drowned and driven, feeling such a lot like Baudelaire.
the vanity of Baudelaire. Ah, feeling such a lot like Baudelaire.
infection infiltrates nervous system. Engineering of consent, stimulation.
Samo daj, kaži daj, samo daj, každý daj, dojde mi život kraj vás.
Too good at math, but they tell me that she finished at the head of her class. And if she lost any virginity, she didn't lose it too fast. They couldn't hold any dress rehearsals for Sylvia Plath. Into Manhattan. She had crawled out of one cocoon where there was absolutely nothing happening. She said, if I'm gonna be classless and crass, I'm gonna break up some glass. Nobody broke anything sharper than Sylvia Plath. And excuses, it's just a dance in the aftermath. And when you check out of this hotel, Jack, you're nothing but an autograph. The desk clerk wakes up around 7 and he tosses it out with the trash. But he might keep around a couple of letters return addressed to Sylvia Plath. Sylvia Plath woke up and turned on the gas. Then she put her head down and completely forgot about lighting a match. The rest of the details are just too boring to attach. But let's see you do one thing as graceful as Sylvia Plath. Ah, let's see you do one thing as graceful as Sylvia Plath. Yes, let's see you do one thing as senselessly cruel as Sylvia Plath.
At least lyrically, but so when you talk about Peter Lochner, I mean, when you're talking about something lyrically, that's probably the most important aspect of his creative expression. So, but yeah, amphetamine, to describe amphetamine as his version of heroin, yes, that would be accurate. Yeah.
And Baudelaire, you know, I guess his name was Tom Miller. He changed his name to Tom Verlaine.
Yes.
Richard Hell told me about it. He actually wanted to play sax. And actually, Richard told me that Richard Lloyd was really important because Tom Verlaine wouldn't do a gig without another guitar player. The Young Boys never played a gig because he was too scared. We had Stoma from Rotterdam do a Nervous System, Bernays Propaganda out of Skopje with Doja Zivo, and finally Sylvia Plath. But You said Peter sounded hopeful at the end there, so self-destructive. In that last recording, he does do see no evil, huh?
Yeah, you know, I really do think at the end he thought that maybe he could recover from his illness, but I mean, obviously he didn't. But I you know, this is something that I really believe strongly, that if he had that opportunity, he might have made it, and those opportunities just weren't fully realized, unfortunately.
Yeah. And what about his parents?
They were fully supportive of what he did. They helped him. They were his only son. He was his only son, so you know, they helped him buy equipment and recording gear and stuff like that. And
there's no legacy, like it. Everything ended with him, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, his mom, Pop, they didn't get to see this record.
No,
down a long time ago.
No, his dad was. His dad survived the longest. He died, I think, in 2002, if I remember correctly.
Okay. We're at the end of the second hour, February 19, 2020. Frank talking about Peter. Hold tight for hour three.
Really alters his legacy, alters that myth, that mystique. That
he's just a crazy man, yeah.
Yeah, and that, you know, this adds a completely new and different aspect to that story.
Yeah, I'm so glad you did it. February 19, 2020, third hour, Watt for Pedro show.
nothing ever ends. Then without a rhyme or reason, you drifted away from me. And now the person I thought I knew, I can no longer see. I'm letting go of all the bitterness that you sow. I must keep my distance from someone who isn't true. You lost your way, and there's nothing that I can say. Because I can't let you die.
Thank you. bad girls. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I love a wheel and so have fun. Riding the muppets in the midnight sun. No bad girls for everyone. Ooh, ooh, ooh. They're hot lovers with two little wheels. They love the bikes, they love the way it feels. When they take off, you can hear them squeal. Sarah and Susie and all of the gang rode into town last Saturday. They tore up the parties with their moped feet, swept the boys right off of their feet. I'm in love with the moped girls. I'm in love all over the world. Moped girls, moped girls. Moped girls broke all the rules. Even the police didn't slow them down. They chased them on their Harleys all over town. Then they put a roadblock in the good way. No one escaped that fateful day. I'm in love with the moped girls. I'm in love all over the world. Moped girls, moped girls. Now, that's okay. They're gonna take us all away someday. Moped girl, please ride my way.
Thank you.
tune. Maybe over your head.
Thank you.
Why for Peter show, start third hour off with, I must have been out of my mind, Peter Lochner. Crane, Someone Who Isn't You. Kangaroo Court after that with Night of the Dark Storm, K. Cole's Moped Girls. This is old stuff from South Bay. Actually, guys from the Hill here. One's in Idaho, one's in Pedro now. Tragic Comedy with the Aphrodisiac of Love. And Peter Lochner, I'm So Fucked Up. What was the most difficult thing for you putting this whole trip together, Frank?
Well, I mean, just from a business perspective, there's 25 collaborators that you know, worked with Peter, that made these recordings with Peter. So finding all of those people and getting them to sign off on a license, I mean, that was difficult. Some of them aren't alive anymore, so... you know, getting to their estates or whoever is in charge of their stuff after the, you know, after they died, it was difficult to find all 25 people. And so that was probably from a business perspective, that was the hardest thing, absolutely.
And it, you know, he wrote, right, for Lester Bangs and Cream.
Yes.
But also other stuff, too, right? Little zines in Cleveland. And
yeah. So Peter wrote, he wrote for Cream Magazine. He was a contemporary of Lester Bangs. They were friends. They made recordings together. But besides that, Peter wrote for a number of different free weekly newspapers in the Cleveland area, including Scene Magazine, which still exists to this day, Zeppelin, Star, and Exit. Those were the four main ones that he wrote for.
Okay. And he actually played music with Lester. I know there's a Lester album.
Yes. Peter and Lester Bangs made recordings together, and we include one on the box set.
Which one's that one?
Drugstore Cowboy.
Oh, you know, wow.
Okay. I think actually that's on the bonus 7-inch that was included with the box set to people who pre-bought it before the street date.
I think Lester, it was cough syrup, right?
Yeah, he... I don't know what his final demise was, but...
I wouldn't be surprised. Cough syrup, believe it or not. I mean, you know, it had drogas in it, but...
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, you know, I've heard some stuff from Richard Meltzer. He's a friend of mine, and... you know, you're talking about those times when people didn't really have resources for people with problems like that.
Yeah, I mean, the knowledge that we have today that still is imperfect was that much less back then.
Yeah, I can just imagine. Yeah, just spiel, just talking with people. And I remember 70s, you know, I was a teenager, right? I'm 13 in 1970.
Yes.
My whole teen years is 70s. And it was pretty, what's the word, narcissist? Like, that generation was, like, into themselves so much. People like Peter who, like, knew about music that was more than 5 years old. That was kind of rare.
Oh, it was totally rare.
With my peers, nobody talked about anything that was only more than a couple years.
No.
Those days.
Before punk had its sort of explosion in 76, 77,
yeah.
You know, these underground bands, you know, in 73, 72, 74, these things just were firmly underground. I mean, you had to seek it out. You know, it wasn't obvious to anyone.
You know, Tony told me that there was a big... The way 30 Seconds Over Tokyo is, David put out something on some Perubu big collection called Tom doing... a tune called Steve Canyon Blues.
Yes.
And Tony says that kind of started this kind of trippiness off. Even though they were already living a life, Tom actually did it musically, where you have the rock and roll part, but then you have the freak out, and then you have it come back.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I know that song. I really dig that song, and but I will say, I mean, underground music, and even when you were out with the Minutemen, I mean, this was like a secret society.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
People didn't know this stuff. It was not well known at all. And the fact that it was sort of a secret society, that added to the coolness of it very much so.
Oh yeah, there's a Germ song, right? What We Do Is Secret.
Yeah. That is an anthem of the time, without a doubt.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's one of the attractions. It was for me. I want to play, I guess he had written a song called Cinderella Backstreet.
Yes.
Let's listen.
Oh, I am a backstreet boy, and anyone will tell you so. An eye on the moon, here for the 102, for the kids with no place to go. But me and Scotty were talking, that nervous way that we always did. It was then I realized I had something there to show him. Not that I would have to keep it in. So I said, I'm gonna walk on down in the alley, down where the light shines so very dimly. I'm gonna shake hands with all the creatures that I meet. With Miss Cinderella Blackstreet. I tried to teach naivete to kids brought up on TV. I tried hard to smile, yet hung up in style. Seems they saw right through me. You know, me and Ricky were talking in between all the noise, the smoke and the jive. And I said, playing those blues that you learned from the English dudes. Oh, does it really satisfy? I said to him, me, I'm gonna walk on down in the alley, down where the light shines so very dimly, where the etiquette walks on silent 30 feet, with Miss Cinderella Backstreet. One down for the leather boys, and one for the never been kissed. Still another for all the ambulances. highway somehow I seem to miss. And one more just to dream on. And you know, still another one for the show. Well, Denise, she did my eyes, and I felt just like a prize. Until the tears began to flow. And I had to go outside and take care of some business with a gentleman from Morningside Avenue, who introduced me to his very best friend from Denver. He took me aside and advised me just what it was that I should do. I said to him, right now I'm gonna walk on down in the alley, down where the light shines so very dimly. Ah, oh, but the night is so complete with Miss Cinderella Backstreet. I'm gonna walk on down in the alley, down where the light shines so very dimly. Well, the alley cat walks on silent, padded feet with Miss Cinderella Backstreet. Miss Cinderella Backstreet. Miss Cinderella Backstreet.
Ribbons of delicious highways leading up and down hills, passing billboards and rest stops, weight scales are closed, truck lights lead on, sons of the ribbon, leaning on it loud and long, leading the way again, on and on the green corridors, till you want to go crazy, and your eyes tight behind the wheel, driving a long ways, but you take it and ride, through the towns and stride. Oh, ribbons of freeway, lead me on forever, always a cool place to go, past old truckies and horribly dilapidated structures, and houses so close, I live by the freeway, where I park my RV so I can be hypnotized by waves of automobiles, vans, and trucks. And I cut through that on my drive through my ribbon of greenway, rolling along. Let's go cruising now past that stained, stupid old shitty van that will always sit there until it rots away by the old highway, 29 towards Green Bay, until I get to 45 North and Amigo, yay! Cruising along that way, always loving my green, green hills and trees, spinning on by the freeway.
Thank you.
You don't know the cause. You know, I went to work last Friday morning. They picked me up off the floor in a dead faint. I've painted this town red so many times, but tonight it feels like it needs another coat of paint. My sister sold her heart to the junk man. Could have been back in 1965. Well, I hope she got what she expected. I hope in 2 years I'm still alive. Driving through the freezing sleet this morning, on my way to who knows where. I get so low down and lonesome sometimes. It's a real effort not to turn to prayer. But my sister sold her heart to the junk man. Know the one who comes around knocking on your door. When you've bitten off more than you expected you could chew. And you just can't take it anymore. Yes, my sister sold her heart to the junk man. He
don't give no returns on his merchandise. Every time I have to see her, it's like looking through a window frosted over with ice. Yes, my sister sold her heart to the junk man. Yes, my sister sold her heart to the junk man. Yes, my sister sold her heart to the junk man. Oh, the blues that you get from watching other people's eyes. Oh, the blues that you get from watching other people die.
And they were also in the Poor Girls before that in the Akron area.
Okay, and then Chris Butler's Akron area.
Yes.
Because there was kind of, they're not too far away, them neighborhoods,
no.
I guess.
No.
In fact, somebody was telling me, maybe it was David, there was a Cat Beefheart show in Akron that everybody from Cleveland went to, and Akron. I guess the Pretender singer's brother, Numbers Band, opened
yes.
up.
Yes.
It wasn't really the name. It was a nickname for the band. Yeah. So the scene was only so big. So Cinderella's Revenge is the band he puts together after Cinderella Backstreet.
Yes.
Okay. People, we heard the song Cinderella Backstreet by Peter Lochner. Then Joe Brewer would drive away, Jerk Graham with Little Kitchen. Wanda the Pigeon of Your Mother from A Kind of Pigeon. That's out of Milano. Andre Vida from Berlin with Barino, Million Dollar Downstroke, Mod Vigil, and finally, My Sister Sold Her Heart to the Junk Man, Peter Lochner.
You know, that particular song Peter co-wrote with Adele Bertai.
Okay. You mentioned right. her and, earlier, right?
Yeah, so Adele collaborated with Peter on a number of recordings. And then she moved from Cleveland. She moved to New York, and she was in the Contortions. She had her own band at the time, also the Bloods, which was
James Chance.
Yeah. She had this other band too. She was in the Contortions with James Chance, and then she had another band, the Bloods, which was an all-girl punk rock band in New York. I think it was probably the first all-girl punk rock band in New York. And
what about
so
Bush?
She
so. What were they called?
And then she goes on to do all these like backup singer gigs and her own records, and she's written a book. And her book it's a memoir. It's entitled Peter and the Wolves. It's about her collaborations with Peter. It's unfortunately out of print until May 1st, and on May 1st we'll be issuing our reprint of the book, the first paperback edition with new photos. A new forward, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Wow, I'd like to read it. And there was a band called the Theoretical Girls, but it was Glenn Branca.
Yeah.
It wasn't really girls. Man, I'm so grateful for you putting this out and taking the time and doing all this like this. The man deserved it, and his work, and also, you know, he was getting the ball rolling for the rest of us.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate that, Mike. Thank you. I said previously, I really had a desire to tell a story about my hometown, and this is the story that I picked, and I'm glad people dig it.
Yeah, I bet you. Very beautiful. And I can't wait to read this book, too. I'm glad you're doing it. So you're doing books, too, not just music.
I mean, there's a book included with the box set. And so this one is the sort of first standalone book that we've done.
Okay. What success.
Miami. Thank you.
Version of Smogvale. Great. Hey, people, Frank, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. It means a lot. People, check out everything you can from Peter Lochner. This record, five records are beautiful. And I'm just glad, so glad, so glad. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank.
February 19, 2020 edition of Wap Pedro Show. People, keep your powder dry.